Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputram Matra Swarupam Rupam Dasya Grajam Rupurim Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahoradika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Guru Muntam Natosmi Utama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachiya Dile Kakola Kahe Premananda Emana Gauranga Ridoya Dariya Bola Bhaja Gauranga Kaha Gauranga Laha Gaurangera Namare Je Jana Gauranga Bhaje Se Hoyamara Pranare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya, Primabhidana Paramapumata, Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavirapi Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Rishayustat Priya Janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathabda Brajabala Bapahima Panchakova Dadubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matuyo nasti papatma, naparadi chakashchana, parihare pilajjame kimbruve purushottama. O Lord Purushottam, is no sinful offender like myself. I'm ashamed to even speak what I've done. What more can I say? Hare Krishna. So, is it, can you guys come a little closer? Unless you need to hold up the wall. We don't want the wall to crash down. I took a bath last week, I promise. So, I wanted to say something tonight from Harinam Chintamani. Very wonderful book. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has collected all of our Vaishnava Siddhantas and put them in very easy, simple Bengali language called Bengali Paya, which we can sing and maybe you can chant Hare Krishna in response. In this first and second chapters and the verses we've chosen, he speaks something about the connection between Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Nam. We said a few words about this morning. It's a very important thing. Sometimes we think that what is the necessity of sadhu sangha? Or we may think that sadhus means just the maharajas or some very special elevated souls and these other people I'm living with, well, anyway. We may think something like that. But we should understand this topic in a very deep way. It's a very, very important subject matter. Our good fortune begins when we meet devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in Harinam Chintamani. Kabu jadi sadhu sange janite se pare. Ami jiva Krishna dasa jaya maya pare. Hey. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kabu jadi. Jadi means if. If someone gets association with devotees, then janite se pare. They begin to understand who they are. So the first question is, what does it mean to associate with devotees? It's a very, very important subject matter, which is spoken about in many different Vedic literatures. Prasprana katanam bhavanam bhagavad yasaha. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, we should learn how to associate with devotees. We don't know how. You may say, what do you mean I don't know how to associate? Of course I know how to associate with devotees. But what does it mean? Does it mean that I go with Pratishtha to the movies and because I'm with him, he's a sadhu. Then it's sadhu sangha? That's not sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means Krishna nam. Sadhu sangha Krishna nam e matu chai. Jagannanda Pandit says that these two things are all that's required. And these two things have a very intimate connection. You may come in contact with sadhus, but if you don't chant Krishna nam with them, then you're not really doing sadhu sangha. You're getting some benefit. If it's a very great sadhu, you just by seeing that person, you get some benefit. But you don't get the real benefit, the best benefit, until you begin to chant Krishna nam. And you can't really understand them until we begin to chant Krishna nam. And moreover, you can't chant Krishna nam until you get association with sadhus. So the two are in cause and effect. By associating with sadhus, we get inspiration and strength to chant the holy name. And then by the strength of that chanting of the holy name, we get deeper sadhu sangha. When the holy name goes into our ear, when we drink it through our ear, it enters into our heart. And then it comes back out of our mouth, goes back into our ears, and again into our heart. Our heart begins to soften. And we then can begin to understand sadhu sangha, and we get deeper sadhu sangha. And from deeper sadhu sangha, what do we get? We get deeper Krishna nam. And from deeper Krishna nam, what do we get? We get deeper sadhu sangha. And then deeper Krishna nam. And these two go in a cycle. You can't have one without the other, and both of them are dependent on each other. And therefore, Jagannanda Pandit says, sadhu sangha, Krishna nam, e matu chai. All this requires these two things. So, if we associate with sadhus, jadi, sadhu sangha, jani de se pari, then we'll begin to understand who I am. That realization will come when we begin to chant Krishna nam. Ami jiva Krishna das jai maya pari. We'll begin to understand I'm a spirit soul. I'm not this body. And then we'll be able to cross over the world of maya. Bhaktira unmukhi se sukriti pratan. Tara phale jiva bhakta sadhu sangha pan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Interesting thing. Bhaktira unmukhi se sukriti pradan. I don't know if all of you understand some Bengali, something you understand? You know Bengali? Ami bangdapori, beshi bolchi parinabu. Opa, opa. Okay. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya, his commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks about different types of sukriti. It's not all the same. Sukriti, meaning pious acts. He says there's karma mukhi sukriti, jnana mukhi sukriti, and bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Sukriti, which is based on karma, jnana, and bhakti, and which the result is karma, jnana, and bhakti. So he says, out of these three, bhakti unmukhi se sukriti pradhan. This is pradhan. This bhakti unmukhi sukriti, this is the best. And what is the result of that? Tara phale Jiva Bhakti Sadhu Sangipan. The fruit of this type of bhakti, is bhakti umukhi sukriti, is that you get association with devotees. We should understand what is mukhya and what is gona. What is mukhya bhakti and what is gona bhakti. We should understand the difference between sukriti and bhakti. Jiva Goswami speaks about this in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says that in the beginning, someone gets some agyata sukriti, unknowing benefit. You walk past a Harinam party and you hear them chant. Nice tune. Maybe you start humming it to yourself and singing something about Krishna. You don't know what it means. You're getting some benefit. Or you take some prasadam. You may see the Jagannath deity during Rath Yatra. You have no idea what in the world that is. But it's something far out. You get some bhakti umukhi sukriti. And that's agyata sukriti. It's unknowing. From that unknowing sukriti, Jiva Goswami says, comes gyata sukriti. Knowing sukriti. You go, you see these people, these Hare Krishna people. That's pretty far out. I like that. Let me start associating with them. And then you get some desire to do some pious acts, to chant. That chanting is one pious act. And from that chanting as a pious act, that's gyata sukriti, knowing sukriti, it's not yet bhakti. We mentioned that this morning, that Vishwanath in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you remember the phrase? No. He says it is just the senses and the engaged in the sense objects. Indriya-vyapara. The senses engage in the sense objects until we begin to associate with devotees, until we do the same activities as a service for the devotee. We begin devotional activities as a service for Krishna's dear devotee. That's the beginning of bhakti, when we do it for their pleasure, as a focused thing. It's a very interesting thing. If you look in the folio, what Prabhupada says about agyata sukriti, how he uses that phrase. I'll give you two examples how he uses it. One time he's speaking about the children in our movement doing kirtan and chanting. And Prabhupada said, yes, they're getting agyata sukriti. I was very surprised. How is that? They know Krishna's God. They're chanting and dancing. Another example is Prabhupada, once he was speaking about one second initiated devotee who took sannyas from Srila Prabhupada and he's preaching. And later he fell down and went away. Prabhupada said, anyway, he got some agyata sukriti. How? That's agyata sukriti? Isn't that bhakti? What is the difference? We should understand these points. Agyata sukriti, in this case, it seems that Srila Prabhupada is indicating that it's agyata because they're not really focused on it. We're just doing some external thing and we're not really understanding what it is that we're doing. So in that sense, it's agyata. But something is going on. And that agyata sukriti, that bhakti umukhi sukriti, he says here, tarafale jiva bhakta sadhu sangha pan. That the fruit of that is that we get association with devotees. That means real association. It doesn't just mean that we hang out with someone. But association with devotees means adoshrada, tata sadhu sangha. The beginning is faith, and then is sadhu sangha. So faith in what? Faith in the devotees. What kind of faith? What kind of faith do we have in the devotees? Sometimes I've met people who are chanting, and they have no faith in the devotees. Maybe they have faith in Srila Prabhupada. Some. I even doubt how much faith they have in Srila Prabhupada. Let's say Prabhupada, he's the last one. And we're all unfortunate. There's nobody after Prabhupada. How much faith do you have in Prabhupada then? Do you think that Prabhupada died? You think he's gone? You think he's not present anymore? He can't live on in his devotees and those people who are serving him? How much faith do you have in him? Do you have faith in him as an historical sadhu? Or do you have faith in him as a living saint? What kind of faith do we have? Srila Prabhupada is present. We should have strong faith in that. So Bhaktivinoda, he speaks about the symptoms of someone who has Shraddha, faith, and how they behave. Shraddhavan hoye Krishna bhakta sangha kore name ruchi jive doya bhakti pata dhare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare
Rama. He says that a Shraddhavan jan, someone who has faith, that person, Krishna Bhakta Sangha Kore, he does association with devotees. It means he really does association with devotees. He's not just trying to become famous with them or get money from them or get some friends or go to the temple because it's a nice place to find a husband or a nice place to find a wife or they've got good food there. That's okay. We don't mind that. We were just in Tashkent a week ago, in Uzbekistan, and the government is sending spies to every program in the temple. And the temple authorities were very disturbed by it. I said, but don't worry. You should tell them send more spies. This is because you're not allowed to preach in that country. So at least somebody's coming to the temple. You have some spies coming. We don't mind. They're also jiva souls. Very good. But they're not really doing association with devotees unless they begin to chant and do something. And when they begin to chant, then they're doing association regardless of their main motivation. But when they have faith in the devotees, that's when that association really begins to take off. And then Bhaktivinoda says, Krishna Bhakta Sangha Kore, we begin to associate with devotees. How do we associate with devotees? We begin to serve them. Shushusho Shuddhanasha, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shamaha Seva Viprapunityatana Seva. The Bhagavatam, first canto, says that when we serve devotees, Mahatmas, then we get Nam Ruchi, Kata Ruchi. We get a taste for Krishna Kata and a taste for the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda speaks about that here. He says, Nami Ruchi. First you get that nam, first after that sadhu sangha, then you get that nam ruchi, and then you get jiva doya. You develop compassion for their living entities. Sometimes we think it's the other way around. We'll go out and preach first, and then we'll get some taste for the holy name. But we should cultivate our bhajan and our preaching at the same time, and the two are very intimately connected. If we had developed a taste for the holy name, then naturally we'll be so happy. From that happiness, we naturally have some compassion on living entities. And this bhakti patta dhari, in this way, this is walking on the bhakti path. This is how we associate with devotees. And then Bhaktivinoda says a very nice thing. Vanashrama dharma ar sankhya yoga gyan kali jive udarite nahi balavan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. He says we should understand what's udarite balavan, what has strength to deliver the souls in this Kali Yuga. And he says, Vanasham Dharma, or Sankhya Yoga, Gyan, these things, Kali Jive udarite nahi balavan. They have no strength in Kali Yuga. What good will your Vanashram Dharma do to deliver souls in this age? Or your Gyan, your Sankhya Yoga, your Astanga Yoga? It has no benefit. Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to preach about Vanashram Dharma. He wanted us to establish Vanashram Dharma, but not because it's going to deliver everyone, not because that's the solution. None of us here, I don't think, are here because we're so qualified by Vanashram Dharma, even though we may be from very good Gujarati families and like that. But still, in Kali Yuga, everyone is so fallen. Who's following Vanashram Dharma according to Manasanghita, Vishnu Smriti? No one. No one. It's not even possible in Kali Yuga. You can't do it. We're here on the strength of the holy name. We're here on the strength of the mercy of the sadhus. And that's what's going to deliver everyone. But at the same time, people will be helped if they can have some Vanashram Dharma. They can become human beings. can become vegetarian, they can learn to live in a more peaceful way. That's a very, very big subject. I won't go into it now. But he says that these other things, these Vanashram Dharma things, they don't have strength to deliver the souls in Kali Yuga. Jnana Karma Gata Je Bhaktir Gona Pat Kantake Sankirna Hana Hoyla Vipat. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.
So he speaks about Gona and Mukya. And he says that this Jnana and karma also means Vanashram Dharma, Gataje Bhakti or Gonapat. These things which are, they're mixing bhakti with. Sometimes we mix bhakti with some of these other things. There's a famous verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.1.11. Do you know what that verse is? Does anybody know? This is like the Mahavakya of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You should know. If you don't know any other verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you should know this verse. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana kamari anabritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Now this verse is very interesting because it says anya bilasita shunya. What does that mean? Mataji, you know the verse. What does anya bilasita shunya mean? You know Hindi, right?
Not so well.
Abhilash. You know, abhilash means some desire. Anyabhilash. Some other desires other than Krishna. Anyabhilash, it is shunya. Shunya, you know that word? Everybody knows the word shunya?
None.
It should be zip, zero, zilch, none. Vishwanath, in his commentary in this verse, he says that Rupa Goswami is not saying that you have to have no material desires. He says, but your attitude toward bhakti shouldn't be mixed. I'm only going to take shelter of bhakti. I may have material desires. I may want money. I may want women. I may want fame and wealth and this and that. But I'm not going to mix that. I'm going to focus on bhakti. I'm going to take shelter of bhakti. That's anyabhilashita shunya. It's very important. And then the next verse, next line is interesting. Jnana, karma, adi, anabritam. Anabritam means it shouldn't be covered. Britam means covered. Anabritam means uncovered. So jnana and karma and adi means what? Anybody know?
Etc.
So jnana, karma, adi, and Jiva Goswami in his commentary, he says that adi means vanashram dharma. And adi means tapasya. It means doing sacrifices and so many different things. So jnana and karma and adi, vanashram dharma, etc. Anabritam, shouldn't be covered. Why didn't he say shunyatam? Why jnana and karma, anyabhilashita shunya, jnana karma anabritam? Jiva Goswami says, some jnana and some karma can be okay. He says, it's a little technical, fasten your safety belt for a minute. He says, there's three types of jnana, tatparartha jnana, tvamparartha jnana, and jiva brahma aikya jnana. Tatparartha jnana means knowledge of myself as a soul. That's beneficial for bhakti. Tvamparartha jnana means tatparartha jnana is knowledge of the Lord. Tvamparartha jnana is knowledge of myself as a soul. These are beneficial for bhakti. Jiva Brahma Aikya Gyan, knowledge of the oneness of the soul and God, that may be detrimental for bhakti. But still, bhakti is not dependent on those things. And therefore, anabritam, it shouldn't cover bhakti. Vishwanath says it may cover bhakti in one of two ways. It's a little technical, but this is actually a very deep and very important point. One way it may cover bhakti, we may think it's the goal. Gyan is the goal. Vanashram Dharma is the goal. I want to be a Brahmin. I'll get more pizza or more more sweets or whatever. To be a Brahmin is the goal. To be Vanashram Dharma is the goal. To have Gyan, learn a lot of verses. Everybody will respect me then. we may think that's the goal. If we think that's the goal, it's covering bhakti. Second way, it may cover bhakti. If you think, bhakti's the goal, but I have to do vanashram dharma. Unless you're a brahmachari, you can't chant the holy name. Unless you're practicing vanashram dharma, you can't chant the holy name. Nonsense. The holy name is swarat. Bhakti is swarat. Bhakti is independent. It's not dependent on vanashram dharma. It's not dependent on gyan. It's not dependent on karma. It's not dependent on anything. Bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya. It says in the 11th canto Bhagavatam. Bhakti comes from bhakti. It's not dependent on any other thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that this gyan and karma, gata, these things, when you mix them with bhakti, this is indirect bhakti. So there's mukhya bhakti and there's gona bhakti. We spoke about that this morning. Did we come? Maybe that was, we gave some class on this a couple days ago in Mumbai. So mukhya bhakti means panchanga bhakti. What's panchanga bhakti? Does anybody know? Panchanga, what does panchanga mean? She knows. Means what?
Five limbs.
Okay. So what are the five limbs of bhakti then? Mukhya bhakti, primary bhakti. I hope you know these, at least one or two of them. Otherwise we're in big trouble. Chanting the holy name, yes.
Associating
with devotees. Okay. Anybody else? Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Very good. It's three. What's that?
Staying
in a holy place, and there's a fifth one.
Worshipping the
deity. Worshipping the deity. Srimati Seva. So these five things, even if they're not accompanied with anything else, these five things will act on their own. They're very, very powerful things. These are mukhya bhakti. If someone just sees a deity on the cart, doesn't know anything else, they're going to get benefit. If someone hears the holy name, chants the holy name, goes to Vrindavan. Once I was sitting in the internet cafe at our Krishna Balaram Mandir, and some man walked in wearing Western clothes and sat down next to me. And somehow he got my attention. He just looked something familiar to me. And he sat down on the computer next to me, and I'm kind of looking over my shoulder, and he's looking at complete mundane things. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Oh, I'm from Chicago." I was born in Illinois. Somehow I could just sense this was an American. So I said, "What are you doing here?" "Oh, I'm here from the university and we're doing something. And I came to Delhi yesterday." And I said, "Well, how'd you come to Vrindavan?" He said, "Well, you know, somebody told me that there's this far out place, it's called Vrindavan, and I don't know anything about it. Somebody just told me and I just came here." And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. It's like Krishna just picked someone up and dropped them in Vrindavan. I said, "Well, what are you doing today?" And he said, "Well, I don't have any plan." I said, "Would you like to see some places in Vrindavan?" And I just threw away all my plans for the day. And I just took him to the Jamuna and different temples and things and talked to him and took care of him. It's a new person. Wow. It's a very special thing. To even he doesn't understand anything about the Dham, but just to be there, you're going to get some benefit. And these are mukhya bhakti. Now there's gona bhakti also. In Bhaktisiddhartha Jiva Goswami, he speaks about sarup siddha bhakti, sangha siddha bhakti, and arup siddha bhakti. This is a little complicated philosophy, but it's important to understand. Sarup siddha bhakti means mukhya bhakti. It's sarup siddha. It's perfect on its own. Sangha siddha is gona bhakti. Sangha siddha means it has some potency because there's a connection with it. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees to collect money and to open temples. But just that activity, if you don't chant the holy name, if we tell people all over the world, you should all collect money, everybody likes that very much. They're already doing that, I think, right? Everybody's collecting money, but they're not getting bhakti. So that thing in and of itself is not bhakti. But if it's connected with Prabhupada, if it's connected with mukhya bhakti, I'm collecting money because I want to just print books and tell people about the chanting of the holy names. I want to collect money to build a temple so people can come and chant the holy names. I want to collect money so we can have a Rath Yatra, so people will see the deity and take prasadam. So that's Sangha Siddha Bhakti. It's bhakti, it's Sangha Bhakti in the sense it's connected with Mukhya Bhakti. But it's Gona. If we just focus, management is Gona Bhakti. It's Bhakti. And Sangha Siddha Bhakti, someone can become Siddha by doing management, if they're doing it with devotion for their Gurudev. But it's not that management in and of itself, if you're not doing anything else, you just do management, you're going to get bhakti. We should understand this. It's a very important point. What is mukhya and what is gona? So Bhaktivinoda says that if your bhakti is mixed with gyan and karma and vanashram, then it becomes gona. Because you're not vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. You're not one-pointed. And then kantaka sankirnahana, it becomes full of thorns. Do we ever wonder why so many devotees are practicing bhakti, but we don't even like to speak about it. It's like an unspoken thing, but they've been practicing bhakti for so long, but they're suffering like anything. Have you ever met anyone like that? I've met a few people like that. They're chanting Hare Krishna for 10 or 20, 30, maybe 40 years. But they're on their... I know one person who's on his seventh wife. And he suffered like anything throughout. And not just with his wife. There's probably a reason why he had so many wives. A little bit of an angry person. He has a lot of problems and things. But he's chanting. He's a devotee. But he's suffering. This word kantake means that with thorns. Kantak is a thorn being stuck in our heart. Because we're practicing Gona Bhakti. We're not getting the real result of that thing. And therefore, there's some suffering. We should understand this. This is very important. Otherwise, we may lose faith in bhakti. Why, I've been practicing so many years. They promised me I'd get Krishna praying. I'm not getting anything, man. It's just really hard to chant my rounds. We should understand, why am I suffering like this? Because I'm not practicing Sudha Bhakti. I'm practicing Chaya Bhakti, some shadow of bhakti, or some bhakti abhas, some reflection of bhakti. Bhakti Vinod says, Prittak upaya dhari upaya sadhane. If you're doing this type of sadhana, you're carrying this thing, then vigna bahutara. You're going to have so many different obstacles. Vigna bahutara hoyla jivara jivane in your life. So he says, nama lochanera mukhyapat, that what is mukhyapat is the holy name. And this is our everything. The holy name is everything. We may sometimes have some gyan, we may have some karma, we may have some vanashram dharma in our society. It's good. Those things can be helpful. But they're all gona. They're all secondary. And if we take shelter of those things, then they'll just have so many thorns in our heart. If we're taking shelter even of management, even of building temples, and we're doing it with the wrong motivation, we're not doing it with the pure devotion to serve and please Srila Prabhupada, to spread the holy name, but we're doing it maybe so I can become famous, so we'll get some money, we'll get some followers or something, then you're going to have so many thorns in your heart. And it's not going to work properly. Prabhutumi jivera mangala chinta kori kali juge naam sangi swayam avatari. Haridas Thakur says, oh my Lord, thinking how to benefit the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, you descended to this world with the holy name. And then in chapter 2, Bhaktivinoda speaks about Sadhu Sangha. Ananya bhajane janya shada atishoy. Anyone who is doing ananya to bhajan, ananya shada, they have faith in that. That person's atishoy. He's a great personality. He may be a durachari sadhu. What's the verse? Ninth chapter Gita. Apichet sudaracharo. She's very good. She helps me remember all the verses. Apichet sudaracharo. Bhajate mama nanyabhak. Sadhareva samantavya samyagi vyasito isaha. He speaks about someone who is a durachari sadhu. They're a sadhu, but you all know this word, achar. Not the pickle, but the but the behavior. Sadachar. We want to have sadachar. So someone's doing durachar. They're doing very bad behavior. But they're doing ananyata bhajan. Well, what is ananyata bhajan? Sometimes devotees think ananyata bhajan means you're a pure devotee. You have no material desires. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and it's the Arthavarshini commentary in the Gita, he says no. Because they're a durachari sadhu. They're a sadhu, but they're durachari. Their behavior is not good. It means they have material desires, but they're not taking shelter of karma, gyan, or yoga. They're not worshipping the devatas. I'm just going to worship Krishna. That's anyabhilashita shunya. The same thing that Rupa Goswami is saying. And he says that that person, he's a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantavya. Samantavya, Krishna says very strongly. You must respect them. Adidas Thakur says a similar thing. Ananya bhajane, someone who has faith, ananyata bhajan, janashraddha, he's atishoy. Devata apiksha shesha se mahashoy. He's more exalted than the demigods. The demigods are also bhaktas. Don't think they're second class. Sometimes devotees, they have this weird idea, mostly Westerners. They think, oh, Ganesh is... They make offenses. I don't even like to speak what they think. They say bad things about Ganesh or Shivji or Durgamon. I become very, very disturbed by the thing. Because Bhaktivinoda, in many places, our acharyas, Shastra says, we should, Vaishnavas, respect the devatas. They're not small-time persons. What is the most important verse in the Bhagavatam? Who knows? How does it begin? Kala Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. What's the next line? Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Radeganti Yuge Yuge. So this very important verse, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's the source of all avatars. And when does he come? Indrari Vyakalam Lokam. Indrari means Indra. And Indra, we don't even consider him to be the most high class of the devatas. We respect Shivji much more. Or Ganesh even. Indra has his problems. We all know why he has his eyes all over his body. We won't tell that story. But don't think he's a low-class person. Indra ivyakalam lokam. Madhyanti yuge yuge. Again and again, Krishna comes to help him. He's a very high-class person. He's a devotee, but he's a sakama bhakta. He has some material desires. But still, because he's a devotee, he's such a great devotee, Krishna comes to him. But Adinam Chintamani says, Devata apeksha shesha se mahashoy, that someone who has pure faith, ananya bhajane, they have faith in pure bhajan, that person is more exalted than the demigods. Because Indra doesn't have exactly that kind of faith. When Ravan comes with his armies to attack Indraloka, Indra doesn't say, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. Everything will be okay. He becomes terrified. He says, I have to gather the armies, I have to go fight against him. And then when he's defeated, then he finally goes and prays to Lord Narayan. You got to help me out. I'm in big trouble again. So a devotee who has faith in pure bhajan, he's greater than the devatas. So then who's a Vaishnava? Who's such a devotee? Eka nama jara muke Vaishnava sehoi. Anyone who one time Krishna's name comes from their mouth, he's a Vaishnava. In Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami describes the same thing. Krishneti yashagiritvam manasadriyeta. Anyone who chants Krishna's name, you must respect them. He says, tare grihi yatna kori mani benishchoy. A householder should very carefully respect such a person. Well, this is a very interesting point, because you don't know. They may be one of our spies in Tashkent, in Uzbekistan. And when I first joined the temple in 1982, I was chanting before it since, anyway. The devotees told me a story that during the Vietnam War, the FBI wanted to investigate the Hare Krishna movement. They couldn't figure out why so many people were joining the Hare Krishnas and they were getting out of going to war. They thought maybe this is some bogus thing. So some FBI agent, secret agent, went to the temple in Hawaii for a Sunday feast program. And he kind of tried to fit in. And he danced and chanted Hare Krishna. And sat down, he took prasadam, sitting next to a devotee. And he started talking to the devotee. Yeah, I really like this. This is really good, you know. You guys are pretty cool, you know. And how do you join anyway? The devotee said, well, you just move into the temple, you know, and we'll shave your head. And you come. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd like that. Okay, great. So he moved into the temple. Put on tilak, shaved his head. Wore dhoti and kurta. Started going to Mangal Arati, chanting japa. He lasted for about a week. And then he, one night, in the middle of the night, he snuck out, crawled out through a window or something, and went back to the FBI, and he made his report. And he said, these guys are crazy. They're worse than the army. In the army, you don't have to get up until 5 o'clock in the morning. These guys wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. In the army, you can take a hot shower. They would give you a cold shower. You can't have girlfriends. No television. No hamburgers. You know, these guys are completely crazy. It's worse than the army. So he looked like a devotee. He's dressed like a devotee. But there's something more to it than just that. So Hari Namchan Talman, he's saying, Eka Nama Jar Muke Vaishnava Sehoi. Anyone who chants the holy name even once is a Vaishnava. Well, how do you know? Maybe it's our FBI spy, or one of our government spies in Uzbekistan. How do you know? You don't know. And Rupa Goswami doesn't say, you have to take a stethoscope and listen to his chest. What's inside of his heart? Do an x-ray. Follow him around. He doesn't say that. He says, if they just chant Krishna's name once. So what does that mean? It means we should have so much respect for the holy name. You're an FBI secret agent. Really? Isn't that nice? I offer my pranams. I saw you were chanting Hare Krishna. That's wonderful. You're a saintly person. Because it's such a special thing to chant the holy name. Indirectly, we're being told here, we should have faith in the holy name. And anyone who's chanting the holy name, we respect them. Because the holy name is so amazing, it's so wonderful. Doesn't mean we have to associate with them very closely, with a spy or some person like that. But if they're just chanting the name even once, we have to respect. Because we respect the name. And therefore, tare grihi jatna kori mani be nishchoy. A grihasta has to respect them. We should think of it. But then he says, what is Vaishnav uttara lakshana? Who is a higher Vaishnav? Nirantara jara muki suni Krishna nam se Vaishnatara sarva gunadam. Anyone who's always chanting the name of Krishna, he's a Vaishnav uttara. Our FBI agent, he chanted for 5 days or something, and then when he went back, he stopped chanting. Very likely when he went back to the FBI. But he chanted for a little while. We respect him. But someone who's always chanting, we give more respect to that person because say Vaishnavatara, he's a Vaishnavatara, and Sarva Gunadam, he's the abode of all good qualities because the holy name is on his tongue. Krishna is there with him. We should respect that. But then Vaishnava Uttama Lakshana. Who's the Vaishnava Uttama? Vaishnava Uttama Se Jahare Dekile. Krishna Nama Asi Muke Krishna Bhakti Mile. A Vaishnav Uttam is that person when you just see him. Krishna Nama Asi Muke. The holy name comes out from your mouth. There's a translation here. I don't like the translation, but I want to make a comment on it. It's very interesting. He says, simply by seeing him, one feels devotion to Krishna and finds Krishna's holy name in one's mouth. That is a most exalted Vaishnav. It's not a proper translation. It's not what Bhaktivinoda is saying. I'll read it again. Bhaktivinoda says, Vaishnava Uttama Se Jahari Dekile. Just by seeing this Vaishnava, a Vaishnava Uttam, this is what happens. Krishna Nama Ase Muki Krishna Bhakti Mile. He says in the translation that by seeing him you feel devotion to Krishna and you chant Krishna's name. But that's not the sequence that Bhaktivinoda is saying. He's saying Krishna Nama Ase Muki Krishna Bhakti Mile. That first you chant Krishna's name and then that bhakti comes. Because that holy name is a source of bhakti. You just by seeing such a devotee, you feel inspired to chant the holy name. And then that devotion will come in your heart. A few verses later, Bhaktivinoda says, Krishna nama bhakta seva satata koribe Krishna prema labhatar dana jagge snane jape achita bichar Krishna Sankirtani Matra Shraddha Adhikar. A very interesting verse. I don't like the translation here either. Sometimes it's interesting to look at these translations because we see misconceptions that we have in our movement. It's very important because every word has purport. We should take some time and learn some Sanskrit, learn some Bengali. It'll help us. So the translation he gives, listen. He says, in giving charity, performing yajnas, performing ritual bath, and chanting japa of other mantras, many rules and regulations must be followed. However, in chanting Lord Krishna's holy name, faith alone makes one qualified to chant. Well, there's several things in this translation which are not said in the Bengali. The Bengali says, dani yajna, and dana, in giving charity, dana, yajna, doing sacrifice, snani, taking sacred bath, and jape, and chanting japa, achita bichar. There's some bicha, there's some consideration, which he translates, I think correctly, that some rules and regulations are there. Some consideration is there in those things. He says chanting japa of other mantras, but that's not what it says. It just says japa. And Krishna sankirtane matra shada adhikar. He says, however, in chanting Krishna's holy name alone makes one qualified to chant, but that's not what the verse says. It says Krishna sankirtane. He describes two things. Japa and Krishna Sankirtan. In japa, there's rules. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a number of rules for japa. Because japa is sankhyanam. There's sankhyanam and there's asankhyanam. Asankhyanam means kirtan. Do you chant? Do you count how many names you chant in kirtan? You never count. But when we're doing japa, we count. That's sankhyanam. And there's rules for it. You're not supposed to chant when you're sitting on the toilet. You're not supposed to chant while you're laying in bed and falling asleep. There's certain rules in japa. You should chant a certain number of rounds according to your vow you promised your Gurudev. There's rules. But in Sankirtan, there's no rules to be followed. So dhanit yagi, snani, japi, ta, achita, vichar. These things, giving charity, doing yajna, taking sacred bath, chanting japa, all these things have some consideration. But Krishna Sankirtana Matra, and this thing, Shada Adhikar, this is the most important thing. It's just faith. That's the only qualification. That's all that's required. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's come to give the Sankirtan movement, not the japa movement. There's a difference between japa and Sankirtan. We do japa, and that's important. I'm not trying to minimize japa. Japa is very important. That's our personal relationship with Krishna. Moreover, it's our personal relationship with our Gurudev. Just like a baby has a cord which connects it to the mother. In English, we call it an umbilical cord. And the baby's fed through that cord. So we also have a cord, an umbilical cord, which connects us to our Gurudev. That's our japa mala. But of the two, Sankirtan is more important in this age. So he says, I'll just read one more last verse. Krishna nama bhakta seva satata kwaribe, Krishna prema labhatar avasya hoibe. That Krishna nama bhakta seva satata kwaribe, always, don't stop. Don't stop doing these two things. We say sadhu sangha Krishna nam. But here he says a little different. He doesn't say sadhu sangha, he says bhakta seva. Which is real sadhu sangha. Not just I stand next to my Gurudev and get my picture taken. Leave with Gurudev. I show everybody, see, he and I were real close, you know. We're like this. That's not sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means bhakta seva, to serve the devotees. Krishna nama bhakta seva satata koribe. Never stop doing these two things. And then Krishna prema labhatar avasya hoibe. You'll definitely get pure love for Krishna. We must do service for the Vaishnavas also. I'd like to just finish by telling you one story. Can we do that? Is it okay? It's not too late. We wrote an article recently. We have a magazine called Krishna Katamrita, and we have an email magazine called Krishna Katamrita Bindu. It's free. It comes by email every Ekadasi. And one or two issues ago, I wrote a story which we'd heard when we were in South India, in a place called Kanchipuram. It's a story about a devotee named Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna in He's a devotee living in Kanchipuram. So Kanchipurna was a disciple of the guru of Ramanujacharya, Jamunacharya. He's considered to be one of the most intimate disciples of Jamunacharya, although Kanchipurna was born in a Sudra family. And he's a great devotee. He's always serving the deity of Lord Vardaraj. Have any of you been to Kanchipuram before? If you go, please go and have darshan of the deity of Lord Vardaraj. He's just so wonderful. He's so kind. And he's Vardaraj. He's a Raja of Varda, giver of benedictions. So very, very kind. So Kanchipurna, he was always serving that deity. But he's a Sudra. And in the Sri Sampradaya, they won't let him on the altar. So he was coming and he was doing some panka seva, fanning the deity in the hot summer. And he became so dear to Lord Vardaraj that Lord Vardaraj began speaking to him. And they were having discussions. And somehow people found out about that. And devotees started asking Kanchipurna, "Hey, Kanchipurna, could you ask a question on my behalf, please?" And he, "Sure, I'll do like that." And then Lord Vardaraj would give an answer. And Kanchipurna would go and tell them. One day, one of Kanchipurna's friends approached him and said, "Could you ask the Lord if I'll get liberation in this life?" So Kanchipurna went and he said, my Lord, this devotee is asking, will he get liberation? And Lord Vardar said, "Yes, you tell him he'll get liberation in this lifetime." And Kanchipurna told him, and Kanchipurna then a question came in his mind. He hadn't asked the Lord any questions on his own behalf. But he began wondering, what about me? Will I get liberation in this lifetime? But he was shy to ask the Lord that question. But the Lord, he knows everything. So the Lord Vardaraj one day said, "So Kanchipurna, do you have any questions?" Kanchipurna said, "No, I don't have any questions." "Really, you don't have any questions?" "Well, I have one question." "What is that?" "Will I get liberation in this lifetime?" And then Lord Vardaraj said, "Kanchipurna, you're my dear devotee. You're so very dear to me. You're always serving me, but you won't get liberation in this lifetime." "Why not?" He said, "Because you've never done Vaishnav Seva. You've never served the Vaishnavas. And unless you serve the Vaishnavas, you can't get liberation." At that time when Kanchipurna heard that, he didn't say a word. But he dropped the panka, the fan, put it on the altar, and he just walked out. And he went in search of a Vaishnava that he could do service to. But Kanchipurna by that time was very famous. He'd become one of the gurus for Ramanujacharya. And everybody knew him in South India. So when he went to someone, "Oh, I'd like to do some service," "You..." "No way. We know you. You're a great Vaishnava. I'm not going to go to hell. You can't serve me. No way." And no one would allow him to serve him. So finally, he went to one of his godbrothers. And Kanchipurna, he took off his devotee dress and he dressed up like some cowboy. Cowherd and some Vaishya, and he put a cloth over his head. And his godbrother had a big ashram with a lot of cows. And Kanchipurna just went and started doing go-seva, taking care of the cows. And he was doing such a nice job. And he was there for many months. They gave him a room. Nobody knew anything about him. He always kept by himself. And his godbrother became very fond of him. "I don't know who that boy is, but he's really nice. Does such a good seva. I appreciate him so much." And no one could really find anything out about him because he always kept to himself. He says that, but one day there was some rain and Kanchipurna became soaking wet and he had to change clothes. He didn't have any other clothes except the clothes that he normally wore before. So he took off that cowherd dress and put on his normal clothes. And just at that time, his godbrother happened to come walking by and saw, "Oh my God, Kanchipurna, it's you. What are you trying to do? You're trying to destroy me? No, you're not doing any more service for us." So Kanchipurna's service was finished. So he went back to Kanchipurna, And he went to see the deity of Lord Vardaraj. And when he came in, immediately Lord Vardaraj began speaking to him. He said, "Now, Kanchipurna, now you're going back to Godhead. Mm. Because you've done Vaishnava Seva." It's described. Krishna says, "Mora puja, mora nama, grahana jekore, mora bhakta ninda jari, tara vigna dari." If someone worships me and chants my name, but they criticize my devotees, they'll not make any progress. He says, "But mora bhakta prati prema bhakti kore jay, nisangshaya balilana mori payase." There's no doubt that someone who has love and devotion for my devotee, they'll attain me. Siddhir bhavrivaneti, sangsayo chutta sevinam, nisangsayashtatad bhakta paracharatmanatmanam. There's some doubt, this verse is there in Shashya, whether the personal servant of the Lord will attain perfection. We don't know. Maybe they'll get perfection, maybe they won't. But there's absolutely no doubt. Nisangsayastutad bhakta paricharyatmanatmanam, that those persons who serve the devotees will attain all perfection. So these two things go together. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam. We should always associate with devotees, but we associate with devotees by chanting Krishna Nam, by hearing Krishna Katha. And if we do like that, and we serve the devotees, then we'll get everything. Everything will be there. Right? So Bhaktivinoda says, I'll read this last verse again, such a nice verse. Krishna Nama Bhakta Seva Satata Koribe. We should always chant Krishna Nam and always do service to the devotees. And then Krishna Prema Labhatar Avasya Hoibe. Will definitely get Krishna praying. And it's not by following Vanashram Dharma. It's not even by living in the temple or shaving your head or taking sannyas that you're going to get Krishna praying or this or that. But it's by serving the devotees and by chanting Krishna Nam. So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Gopremanandi hari mora. Mancha kalpa garubish chai. Sundu bheja chai. Parita namabhava. Vaishnava. Govinda.
Any questions?
Mataji? You're from West Bengal?
Yes.
Apnar bari kothay?
Amar bari Barashat.
Achha. Very nice to hear you. I'm speaking very bad Bengali. Please forgive me.
Fantastic Bengali. Since you are from Hari Ram Jagannath Puri, can
you
tell us one
pastime
of Jagannath Puri?
One day, there used to be a system in the Jagannath Mandir that there was some pandits, some scholars, who would read Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, and different things in front of the deity. And there was one sadhu who one day came to the temple. He was a very poor man. He liked going kirtan very much, but he didn't have money to buy kartals. So he'd taken a coconut, cut the coconut in half, and he had two coconut halves. He put some string through the holes. And he came in and he was banging these things, and he was jumping up and down, "Hudibo, hudibo, hudibo," and doing kirtan like this. And his feet were going up, and they were coming near that panda who was reading the Puranas. And some of the people there were there, "Hey, nonsense, crazy fellow. Go away, tell him." And they pushed him away. And that night, Lord Jagannath, he came in a dream to the king of Puri. And he told him, "Why did you stop that kirtan? I like that kirtan so much. I get more pleasure from that kirtan, from that reading. You find him, you bring him back. All this reading is very dry. I don't get so much pleasure. But I like this kirtan this fellow is doing." And so from that day on, they stopped the reading of the Puranas and things, and they started doing kirtan there. So Jagannath, he's Nampriya. He likes Namprami. He likes kirtan so very, very much. And Jagannath's a very interesting deity. We've written many things about Jagannath. That's our specialty, katas about Jagannath. What is the nature of Jagannath? Is he? Some people say he's Dwarkadish, some people say he's Lord Narayan, and they have all these rules and regulations, and it's really complicated. But at the same time, he's so important to us. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipping him. Mahaprabhu is not following all these rules and regulations so strictly. And Haridas Thakur, he's also worshipping him. So what is the connection there? Sometimes devotees, they ask us to explain Rathayatra to new people. Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought about that, but that's a very difficult thing to do. To people who are there eating meat and smoking and drinking, and how are you going to explain to them what is the meaning of Rathayatra? And so I thought about it, and I explained like this. The meaning of this festival is that we're rescuing God from organized religion, and we're bringing him to the village of our heart. That's the meaning of this festival. And that's what we're doing. And that, those few sentences express the nature of Jagannath. Jagannath is Krishna, who has been captured and taken away from Vrindavan and brought to the big city. Now they're all worshiping as God. And we don't like it. We want to see him come back to Vrindavan. So in most places, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Skaraj Goswami says that Aishvarja Priti Sankuchita, that Aishvarja, or opulence, knowledge of the Lord's glories and power and opulence, that Priti Sankuchita makes love shrunken. But in Jagannath Puri, it doesn't make it shrunken. It increases it. And in Kurukshetra, it doesn't make the love shrunken. When the gopis, they see Krishna with all this opulence and all these soldiers and elephants and horses, they don't become like Arjun. When Arjun saw Krishna's Virat Roop on the battlefield, he became frightened and begged apology. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. I was treating you like my friend. Please excuse me. You're not my friend. You're God. The gopis didn't do like that. The Brijbasis didn't say, oh, Krishna, we didn't realize you're a big man. They didn't speak like that. Actually, they did in a way. But that's another subject matter. In actuality, they didn't. It increased their love. When they saw Krishna in that situation, there's a kind of tension. And that's Jagannath and Puri, is a kind of tension created. Hey, this is our Krishna. We have a saying in America, homeboy. He's my homeboy. Krishna's really a homeboy. He's our Vrindavan homeboy. And what have you done with him? You made him into God. It's not good. We want him back in Vrindavan. It creates a kind of wonderful tension. And so Jagannath Puri is a place where there's two opposites in one container. There's both sweetness, madhurja, and aishvarja. And whereas usually aishvarja makes love shrunken, in Jagannath Puri, that aishvarja increases it. It makes it, the love increase even more. Very nice thing. Okay? Go Premanandi. So we chant for another minute or two? There's a nice raga we can sing for this time of night. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Vaishnava Bhavya.